Let's talk about that movie that everybody's talking about, Slumdog Millionaire. It was top dog at the Oscars 8 times over, including the Academy Award for Best Picture. It was a big night for the director and the actors involved in the film. But Indian author Vika Swarup also has reasons to celebrate today. His novel Q&A inspired Slumdog Millionaire. His debut novel tells the story of a young Indian man. After getting every question right in a popular TV quiz show, he's thrown in jail because nobody can believe that a penniless orphan from the Mumbai slums could be that smart. If you'd like to talk to the man behind the original story of Slumdog Millionaire, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. You can email us at talk@npr.org. Vika Swarup joins us now from his hotel in Los Angeles. Congratulations. Welcome. And it must have been a long night for you and the cast members of Slumdog Millionaire.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's still to sink in, really, that, you know, a book which I wrote way back in 2003, its film adaptation has just been crowned the greatest picture in the world for this year.
I can imagine it's a bit of a what were your hopes when you sold the movie rights to the books? Were you expecting this movie or something similar to it? Or
well, no hopes at all. First of all, for me, it was a huge surprise that a British production company was approaching me for the movie rights. Don't forget, I wrote this book in 2003. The book was eventually published in 2005, and the film rights were sold in 2004, a full year before the book is even published. So for me, the first surprise was that why would a British production company want to make a film based on a story which is set entirely in India? So that itself was a huge surprise. And the fact that now this film, with its title Slumdog Millionaire, has gone on to, you know, literally claim the world, has come as I think a big surprise, not just to me, but I think to everyone even connected with the film. Because just as my book is about the triumph of the underdog, I think so is the film. You know, nobody gave it a hope in hell. At one time, it was going straight to DVD. And yet yesterday, it was crowned the best picture of the year at the Oscars.
So I've seen the movie, but I have to confess I haven't read your book. How are they different?
Well, you see, the strength of the book is the narrative structure. And the narrative structure of the book is such that there are 12 chapters in my book, and every chapter is actually named after a stage of the quiz show. So the first chapter is 1,000, the second chapter is 2,000, the third chapter is 5,000, all the way to ₹1 billion. And at the beginning of every chapter, my protagonist, his name is Ram Mohammad Thomas. He's an 18-year-old waiter living in Asia's biggest slum in Dharavi. He narrates a slice of his life. And then you come to understand how that enabled him to answer that particular question on the quiz show, hence the title Q&A. So the film borrows the exact same narrative structure from the book. It even borrows a few of the stories from the book. And then, of course, it adds some stories of its own. Thematically, Joe, in my opinion, I think the biggest difference is my book was about luck. And the point I was trying to make is you create your own luck. But the film is very explicitly about destiny, as you have seen. Since you've seen it, you know very well what happens on the last question.
Yeah. But it was interesting because, you know, he gets the questions right, not because he's so incredibly smart, but because of a sequence of events that happened to coincide to give him knowledge in advance of that particular bit of information.
Exactly.
No, it's very interesting. So, why do you think? I mean, it's funny. I was talking to people before the movie came out, and they had seen it in screenings. They said, "Oh, you've got to see this," and that doesn't happen that often. Why do you think it struck such a chord? Can you say?
I think three or four reasons. First of all, I think, you know, it was the film for the kind of times that we are living in now. I mean, we all know it's doom and gloom everywhere. Uh-huh. People are getting out of their jobs. And here is a film which shows, you know, that you can, people who are living at the ground zero of human survival, as I call it, they can survive, they can beat the odds, they can emerge the winner, and so can you. So number one, it was this message of hope and optimism, I think. That was, of course, the most important thing. The second, I think, again, it was a unique way of telling a story. You know, you are revealing the private life of your protagonist through the public spectacle of a quiz show, which had never been done before, you know.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the strengths of the film, which was also the strength of the book. And thirdly, I think the acting by the child actors, that is absolutely superlative. They really tug at your heartstrings.
Yeah.
And finally, you just can't take away Danny Boyle's cinematic genius from the final product. This is really one of those films, you know, it had not a single actor was nominated for either best actor or supporting actor. This is one of those films where the whole is much greater than the sum of the parts.
Right, right. Now, I mean, I read, or I heard, I guess, on NPR, that Dev Patel, who played the older protagonist as an older child when he, or man, I guess, when he's on the show, he had never been to India before making the film. Now, you clearly are from India, yes?
Yes, of course.
So did they get it right? Did he get it right? Or did he correctly create this character in a way that somebody from India would say, oh, yes, that's recognizable to me?
There's a very famous saying, about India and Indians. It says, you can take an Indian out of India, but you can't take India out of an Indian.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's an absolute fact. Dev Patel had never been to India. I mean, he's a Gujarati. He lives with his mother in Harrow in London. And, he probably speaks a little bit of Gujarati, but doesn't know any Hindi, I suppose, and had never been to India. And yet, I think on his very first trip, he was able to imbibe so much of India that he has delivered a totally knockout, convincing performance.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, I have to ask you, were you at the ceremony last night?
Yes, I was. The great thing is Danny was very clear. He said, this is really the journey's end for this film, because there's nothing beyond the Oscars. And he really wanted everyone who was associated with the film to be there for the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, they were very kind enough to invite me as well.
All right. Well, that's just it makes me laugh because it's such a fantastic story, and again, as from having seen the film, and as you say, people on the edge of existence in Mumbai showing up in Hollywood and winning the big award, it's the same thing too.
Actual slum kids.
Yeah, remarkable. All right, well, let's take a call now from Alex in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Alex, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. So I have to be honest, I haven't seen the movie yet, but after seeing how well it did last night, there's no way I can avoid the movie now.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my biggest question would be, did you expect it to do so well at the Oscars?
At the Oscars? Oh, that's an interesting point, Alex. Thanks for that. What about that?
Well, Joe, I mean, the buzz had started way back when it premiered at the Telluride Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And then it won the People's Choice Award at the Toronto Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And then, till the road to the Oscars, it won like 55 other awards.
Mm.
So the momentum was there. But they say that 60% of Golden Globe awardees go on to win the Oscars, which meant there was a 40% chance it won't make it. And we were all worried, I think, by the fact that, as Joe began the program by saying, that Slumdog was already, labeled by bookmakers as the top dog, So
mm-hmm.
it was the film to beat. And that weight of expectations, we thought may go against the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once, the second envelope was opened and it said Slumdog Millionaire, then I knew, at least in my heart of hearts, that the momentum was there, that the Academy would not be any different from what had gone previously. Maybe it was written for this film. I don't know.
Nicely put. Let's go now to Ethel in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I look forward to reading your novel. I saw the movie twice already and was a big fan of how the book and the screenplay, I've only been able to get through pieces of it because of my schedule. But my question is about the issue of violence, racialized ethnic violence in India. And at the time you're writing the book, a lot of ethnic violence between regions of Kashmir, parts of Gujarat, and other areas. And I see you trying to deal with those tensions and the role of violence, but in human spirit and the way in which, though discrimination and violence and state brutality exist not only in India but in this globalized thing that the screenplay did, but is also a part of the story of nation-making. And I was hoping you would speak to the issue of violence and state repression as it applied to your novel and as it applied to the adaptation in the movie.
Ethel, thanks for the call.
I think that's a good question. First of all, let me put it this way. The film differs quite significantly from the book, especially in terms of, what you call as communal violence. Let's put it this way. There's a scene of a Hindu-Muslim riot, for instance, in the film in which the mother of the two boys is killed. That does not really happen in the book. And don't forget, for me, when I was writing this book, the fact that I come from the world's largest democracy, although I have a day job as a diplomat, but, when I put on my writer's hat, then I don't really think as a diplomat. Then I have to be faithful to the narrative structure, to the kind of protagonist that I have chosen to portray. And there, it's quite possible. When I was writing this novel, for instance, many people said, you know, the ending looks a bit contrived to us. He gets the money. But I said, no, for me, that was the most important thing, because I come from a democracy. And, you know, you can have justice can be delayed, but justice can't be denied. There has to be hope at the end of the day. There has to be light at the end of the tunnel. And therefore, my protagonist actually wins his billion rupees, just as Jamal Malik gets his lady love, Latika, in the film. So I think that was very important. Yes, the question of violence is, of course, a very central question of our times. We are all grappling with that. But I think the central genius of India is this, that how it is able to reconcile, you know, contradictions, how it is able to assimilate everyone and move together on a common destiny. You know, I mean, we have the second largest Muslim population in the world. We have Sikhs, we have Jains, we have Buddhists, we have Jews, we have literally all the religions represented in India. And yet, if you see the history of India, I mean, the instances of violence have been very few and far between. And I think that really is the central genius of India, the fact that we are able to reconcile our differences, that we are able to, you know, there are safety valves. Democracy itself is, I think, the greatest safety valve, you know, for a political system. The fact that we are able to reconcile these things and yet move forward.
We're talking with Vikas Swarup. He's the author of a book you might not have heard of before, Q&A, but you should know now that it is the book that's inspired the movie Slumdog Millionaire, and it's a book that's been translated into more than 30 languages, which, phew, well, that's not bad. Anyway, we're talking with Vikas Swarup, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. All right, let's take another call now and go to Lenny in San Francisco, California. Lenny, welcome to the program.
Hi, congratulations. This is wonderful. And I'd like to address, I think, some of the skepticism about the film and the book. You know, that, well, I was very excited to hear the way you constructed the novel, as it reminded me a lot of Salman Rushdie's Midnight's Children. And I think people have to realize, you know, that it's a fairy tale. It's a magic realist fairy tale, and I know that India just is like a burgeoning literary it's just a literary burgeoning happening with India right now, with Adiga's The White Tiger, and now your book being, you know, the movie made from your book is winning in the Oscars. So it's great, and congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I think, you know, the fact that, you know, the Indian literary tradition is really blooming now. I mean, it all began with Salman Rushdie's path-breaking Midnight's Children. And then it's evolved since then. And my only little quibble with your statement was, you described my book as a magical realist, which actually it is not. Yes, it is a fable, certainly, in the sense that, you know, it's a rags-to-riches tale. But there's no magical realism involved. What I have tried to show is that this man's life experiences, you know, taught him the answers to the questions on the quiz show. And yes, there is an element of luck involved, that he says at the very beginning of my book, well, wasn't I lucky that they only asked me those questions to which I knew the answer? Mm-hmm. But once you take that into account and accept that, then the rest of the thing falls into place very logically.
Okay. Lenny, thanks for that call. And let's take Mark from Fairfield, California.
Hi. My wife saw the movie and was very grossed out by the violence of the torture of the contestant and the blinding of the beggar children. Was that in the book?
That was in the book. You see, the whole purpose of the book was to show Ram Mohammad Thomas as the ultimate underdog, you know. I mean, he has gone through horrific experiences in his life, and yet he has emerged stronger from each and every one of those experiences, and he has absorbed something from that experience, which sort of unlocks the questions on the quiz show. But when I was writing this, you know, I had really no idea whether there was actually these beggar gangs which do these kinds of things to children. For me, it was really an urban myth. Like, when I was growing up, my mother used to say, don't go out, you know, otherwise these begging gangs will catch you and they'll maim you and things like that. So I had no idea that actually these things could actually exist. But then I was told that, yes, there are these couple of cases where these begging gangs, you know, do maim children, because begging is a big, you know, is a very lucrative profession.
Wow. Let's take another call now from Mark in Reno, Nevada. Mark, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hello there. I just wanted you to address the fact that I saw in a documentary that they were burning your billboards and your posters in that little town where you actually filmed the movie. And I'd like to know why the local people didn't like it too much.
Hmm. Well, the movie evoked some controversy in the sense that, you know, people who lived in the slums, they objected to the use of the word slumdog. they felt that, you know, that was a pejorative term and that sort of denigrated them and their existence. And some of them even petitioned the courts that, you know, this movie should be banned, and they took out processions against the film. Well, I think those controversies have been put to rest. The courts have rejected that, you know, that particular notion. Because Simon Beaufoy, when he coined this term, because, I mean, if you look up the dictionary, you won't find a word called slumdog. He really wanted an echo of the word underdog. You know, you have top dog, you have underdog. So he basically, you know, took that echo from the underdog and then added slum to that and made it slumdog. And he had no intention, of course, of trying to offend anyone. So, I mean, I think he was as surprised as anyone else when this big hullabaloo broke out on the use of the word slumdog.
Wow. So, you know, put us in the know here. If this book did so well, what's next? Have you got another one that we should be watching out for?
Yes, well, Joe, the second book is called Six Suspects. That came out in August last year. It will be released in the U.S., I think, only in the fall. But that has already been optioned for a film by the BBC.
Wow. So you ready? Are you going to appear in this? Did you appear in the movie at all?
No. I have no intention of appearing in the movie. But I hope, you know, Slumdog has now gone on to Oscar glory. I don't know what's in store for Six Suspects. But one thing is very clear, that there is now a hunger for stories about India, stories set in India. You know, people really want to know what makes India tick, what's powering this 9% growth rate through the medium of democracy, how is India maintaining tradition with modernity. You know, these are the questions that, you know, people are occupying people's mind. And you cannot take away the success of Slumdog from the fact that it is really India's moment on the world stage.
Well, it clearly is, and it was quite an enjoyable one. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure being on NPR.
Vikas Swarup is the author of Q&A, the novel that inspired Slumdog Millionaire. He joined us from Los Angeles, and he got to go to the Oscars last night. That's pretty cool. I got to watch. We all got to watch. A lot of us got to watch. Anyway, tomorrow, the greatest exploration mystery of the 20th century may have been solved. Well, that sounds interesting. We'll talk about the disappearance of Percy Fawcett and the search for the lost city of Z, or Zed if you're English. Join us for that. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca in Washington. That's how the show ends. I'm Joe Palca in Washington. Thanks for listening.